Well, if you have your Bibles, I would like you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. And the title of our message is Reflections from Short-Term Believers. Reflection from Short-Term Believers. Got to go this way here. First Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. There we go. Peter writing, he says, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims to abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." Verse 12, "Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation." Let's read that again. "I beg you," Peter writing from his heart, urging them, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims to abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation." Won't you pray with me? Father, it's such a joy and such an honor, Lord, to be your child. And Father, to be in your midst tonight, Lord, to hear from you, from your word. We're so grateful. And Father, we pray as we spend a few moments listening, Lord, to your word, I pray, Lord, that you would teach us. Father, we don't simply want to come to church at night to do church, Lord, but Father, our heart is to be transformed by your word. For we know, Lord, you said that it is the word that you speak that makes us clean. So, Father, change us tonight. And, Lord, may we leave here more committed to Jesus. And, Father, with a heart's resolve to bring you glory with everything we do and say. So, Lord, teach us, help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, Fiji was just truly amazing. It was incredible. It was a blessed time. Now, I want to put your mind at ease. I had to tell my church this because as a staffer, they paid my way and I didn't have to raise the money. And they thought we'll be surfing and snorkeling the whole time. Well, in reality, I think we had about 6-7 hours of water time the whole time. We were focused and we truly did ministry and it was exciting. Yes, we did have our challenges. Drew, I don't know if you know, Drew had a radical ear infection. And he had to go to the hospital and then go a second time to a missionary's house to get some ear drops. Monet had to go and deal with the toxins, and she had to get medication from the hospital. I think, Luke, was your arm broken? Where are you at? Didn't break? Okay. We thought his arm was broken. Monet, I said, had a million, well, I just talked about her million mosquito bites. There was a driver who had a speeding ticket and a crash. This doofball backed into a coconut tree. Who do you think that was?
It was me.
You know, we were thrust into places truly that only Jesus could take us. But man, what a blessing, because the Lord just did such a cool, incredible work. Last year, the team went and they had this big youth rally planned. And the Methodist Church, the Nazarene Church, the Assemblies of God Church, the Baptist Church could not come together and bring their kids under the bond of Jesus. And the whole rally got canceled because of sectarianism. But this year, those walls were obliterated. And I believe it's because of your prayers, the prayers of our church. God did something really, really incredible. This evening, I would like to spend maybe 15, maybe 20 minutes just talking about a short-term believer, what that means. Let me build a foundation. In Psalm chapter 100, verse 3, and Psalm chapter 100, verse 11, we're going to jump around the word quite a bit, but for the sake of time, just let me read this. The psalmist writes that your life is a mere shadow. Your existence on this earth, family of God, is a shadow. It's here, and then it's gone. The writer, James, the half-brother of Jesus, who did not come to follow Christ until after the resurrection, he wrote that in James chapter 4, verse 14, that our life is a vapor. It's here and it's gone. In other words, our life is short. And we have a short time to serve Jesus. a short time in our life to see God be glorified in everything we say and everything we do. I've developed a philosophy of ministry for missiology. Short-term missions, the goal behind it is to perpetuate an indigenous movement in that the nationals carry on the work of the ministries. Outsiders like us Westerners, Americans, come alongside to equip, train, and encourage. I think one of the mistakes that missions has made in years past is that the white people will go and try and westernize a culture and do church as we know church here. But what is so exciting about what is happening in Fiji is Maranatha Gardens, one of our ministries at our church, Chris and Lindy Stice, are coming alongside to allow the Spirit of God to develop a movement. And it's an indigenous movement that the nationals are talking about Jesus in a way like never before on the Fijian Islands. We go to Ethiopia every year in our fellowship, and I invite any of you, if you would like to go, we are going October the 6th through October the 22nd. We go and we partner with a ministry called the Cali Hewitt Church. This particular ministry is the most fruitful, oldest, fundamental ministry in all of East Africa. We go, we train, we equip, and they do the work of the ministry. Everybody that receives Jesus in Ethiopia and this last week in Fiji, everyone that received Christ has received at least one, in many cases two, follow-up visits to make sure they knew what they were doing and to begin the ministry of discipleship. So short-term missiology, we don't have time to develop this. I'm sure Pastor Rob talks about this a lot. But where to go and to see an indigenous national movement. And it's such a blessing to go and amazing. I don't have time to go too far into that. And then secondly, and this is where I want to encourage us tonight, is what I'd like to call short-term believer's paradigm. Since our life is truly a vapor, and if we believe God's word is absolute and true, amen, do we? If God's word says we're a shadow, we're here, we're gone. If God's word says we're a vapor, it's here and it's gone, then it makes logical, biblical sense to me, spiritually, to allow the Spirit of God to develop in me a passion for His glory, that I live my time on this earth focused on Jesus, as the writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews chapter 12, to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of God. Short-term believer paradigm is that God has numbered my days. God knows when I'm going to go home, and my heart, my desire, our desire as a body of Christ is to use every waking moment for God's glory, not mine. Amen? You know, it was in 1997, and I was a youth pastor for 12 years, and I was sharing and going through the book of James verse by verse. And we had close to 300 kids out at this particular setting. And I was sharing my heart out. And I literally came to James 4:14 that says, your life is a vapor. And as I was exegeting and communicating on that biblical truth, my partner comes up and hands me a piece of paper. Pastor Randy, there's an emergency. Please call Josh. And I looked at Stu and I said, Stu, this isn't an emergency. I'm teaching the Word. I grew up in a Baptist church, and our tradition is the Word, is our foundation. Leave me alone. So he takes off, and I continue to talk about and encourage the kids that you have a short time to live. Live for Jesus. And he brings me up a note for a second time, and he says, Jason has committed suicide. I think this constitutes an emergency. You are needed at the house. And God did a radical change in my heart that night. Never forget it. It was May 1997 that we don't know when our life is going to be up. And my heart, and I think the heart of all believers needs to be, because it's the heart of Jesus, that we live in such a way that brings God glory. As I've been on the mission field numerous times, I've come up with three observations that I quickly want to run by you tonight. When I visit nationals in Tanzania, Kenya, Ethiopia, Mexico, and now in Fiji, one thing I'm finding is that there are three characteristics that set these believers apart from me that I want to become like. Number one, they have a passion for relationship. Number two, they have a desire, a heart for eternal things. And number three, they have a commitment to live like Jesus, second to none. This evening, I want to evaluate these quickly. First of all, a passion for relationship. If you have your Bibles, we're going to jump around quickly. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. And as you're turning there, let me read you this verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14 says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion," in original language, "the koinonia, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen." Amen. Christianity is about relationship. It's about hanging out. It's about developing deep friendships in the Lord. The writer of Hebrews writes in chapter 10, verse 25, he says, "Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Turn left to Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Relationship. Dr. Luke writes the following, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship." They hung out in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Turn chapter 5, verse 42. Acts 5, 42. "And daily in the temple and in every house they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ." Daily they hung out. Daily they came together. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3 says the following, "That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you," here we go, "that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." Verse 4, "And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full." In Psalms, it teaches us that in chapter 133, verse 1, that, "Oh, how beautiful it is, how tender, how precious it is unto the Lord when brethren dwell in unity." You see, guys, when I go on the mission field, there's nothing about my house not being your house. If you knock on somebody's door at 11 at night in Kenya or in Fiji, it's a welcoming deal. I remember walking through the jungles in Kenya one day, and I just needed to be alone. I was with 15 of my students, and I just needed some alone time, you know? And I'm praying, "Lord, I just don't want somebody to call me out for chai," which is tea in Swahili. "I just want to be alone." So I'm walking through, and all of a sudden I hear this, "Mzunga, Mzunga," which is white person in Swahili. "Baba Upa'a," which is the bald father in Swahili. You know, "Karibu, Karibu," and that means welcome. I'm going, "Oh, okay, Lord." And so if you don't go, you offend him. And I just remember this one time just sitting, drinking tea, probably 15 cups of tea, and not saying one word because they don't speak English and I don't speak Swahili. But the fellowship we had in the Spirit was second to none, because my spirit testified with their spirit that we were children of the Lord. Foreign, in the foreign mission field, relationship is what it's all about. It was second. It was the same, rather, in Fiji. This is Pastor Pio right here. He's the fellow we're working with, and this is his dear wife, and you know Ashley. Many times we would show up in the village, and Chris had asked us to come back at a certain time. You know, be back here by 2 o'clock, or be back by 6 o'clock, rather. And I'm looking at my watch, being a Westerner, as you are doing right now. We have 5 minutes, amen? And they would say, "We're going to have tea." And I'm thinking, we've got to be back. It's a 20-minute drive. We don't have time. And Pastor Pio goes, "Oh, tala tala ulotho." It's the bald pastor in Fijian. He goes, "Relax. This is Fiji time, you know." Just kick back. We're going to fellowship. We're going to hang out. Well, Pio, Fiji time. They love one another. In fact, in that village, Vunumbau, your children, many times you don't know where they're sleeping, because there's an internal communal system. that they love one another, they look out for one another, especially the body of Christ. Relationship is key. And what I think happens in the Western world, we get caught up in schedules, we get caught up in traffic, we get caught up being busy. In fact, the urgent preempts the important. You've heard that phrase, right? We get so involved in doing, we forget about being, both vertically in our relationship with Jesus. Oh God, I'll give you 3 minutes here. I've got a 2-hour drive on the freeway. Let me read my psalm. The Lord is good. Amen. Okay, that's my quiet time. I got to go. And then we get home at night. We're supposed to be praying with our family. We're so tired because the day was just so crazy and the traffic. And we, okay, we'll get to it tomorrow. The urgent preempts the important. And one thing I learn again, and every time I go, Pastor Pio taught us, it's about relationship. It's about hanging out. It's about loving one another. And that truly is what the early church did. If we want to see the Western world, if we want to see the United States come back to Jesus, yes, we are in a cultural, moral battle, no doubt. We don't have time to get into that. The plague of pluralization, the radical relativism that is going on, the tolerance that is promoted in every venue in this country is coming against us. But if we desire to come back to righteousness, obviously we need to repent and pray Jesus back into our governmental officials. But the Bible says that judgment must first begin with the house of God. We need to do and be Christians, and we need to hang out. And one thing we teach at our church often is that church is not something you do. You don't come to Sunday morning and do church and throw your money in the box and leave and go to a home group and call that your Christian existence. Church is really supposed to flow from who you are. Christianity isn't something I do. It's really who I am. And it flows from a life committed to the Lordship, in Greek, the Kurios, the captain of my life. And it's a second by second, minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, a lifetime commitment to relationship with Jesus Christ, sitting at His foot every day, cultivating like a farmer would his field, relationship with Him, so that on the horizontal plane I could live in such a way, as we read in 1 Peter, that when people see me, they don't say, man, that's a really good guy. They say, he serves a great God, because they see Jesus living in and through us. And one thing I see often on the field is that these foreign workers in foreign countries, they've figured it out. They hang out. They love. We'll talk more about that quickly. Secondly, a desire for eternal things. A desire for eternal things. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, therefore, and in the Bible, whenever you see therefore, it's therefore a reason. And Paul writes to the church at Corinth, he says, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. One characteristic that sets my friends apart in Kenya, in Tanzania, in Ethiopia, Fiji, and I'm sure Rob will say the same, in India, and Pastor Rob, or Craig in the back, when he goes to Turkey, is that they have an eternal mindset. They believe effectively what Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 says, that our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we look to the Savior, who will be able to change these vile and lowly bodies and fashion them into Himself. They're focused on the eternal. John chapter 17, the great Lord's Prayer, the priestly prayer, the Lord prayed on His knees to the Father. He said, they are not of this world. Peter wrote, we just read it, 1 Peter chapter 2, that we are aliens, we are sojourners, our life is here for a short time. Live in such a way that you might glorify the Lord. Colossians 3:17, whatever you eat, whatever you drink, whatever you do, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that God might be glorified. Turn to Hebrews, if you would, chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 and 25. Number one, relationship. One thing we need to grow in, particularly in a culture that is busy, is in relationship vertically and horizontally with the body of Christ. Secondly, to be eternally minded. Hebrews 11, 24 says, by faith Moses, when he became of age, you ready? Refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than the riches in Egypt. And here's the key. For he looked to the reward. Moses was eternally focused. This is our last day in Fiji. One thing we could learn is relationship. We could also learn to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, to think about the eternity. This is, again, Pastor Chris, Tala Tala Chris. This is your very own, Nathan Page. What a man of God. He couldn't make it tonight. This guy knows the Bible. He had many opportunities to meet with Jehovah Witnesses, to talk about Jesus, to talk about the truth of the Word. And I was so proud of him. On this particular day, this man here, his name is Ragesh, Hindu origin, hanging out by the seawall. So I went and sat next to him and I began to talk with him and talk about the gods of the Hindus, that they're in everything and everywhere. And I began to talk to him a little bit, and up comes Nathan. And to be honest with you, Nathan had a ice cream from McDonald's, and so the lust of my flesh went out. And I said, Nathan, witness to this guy. I'm going to go get some ice cream. And I really did. And so, and I looked at him and said, you know, I'm going to go get some ice cream, but, you know, somewhere in the Bible it says if you give somebody a cup of water in the name of Jesus, cold cup of water, he'll be honored. So I thought, well, Lord, I'm going to change it. I'll give him a cold cup of ice cream. Is that okay? And the Lord said, and so I went, but I did ask him, you want some water? So he said, absolutely. And I went to McDonald's and I spent, I don't know, Shane, I'm sorry, $3.27 of your budget, and because I always take it out of his. And I came back and Nathan was sharing Jesus with Ragesh. Ragesh was focused. You see, this was the time for him to come to Jesus. Nathan is focused on eternal things. So is Chris. Ragesh has already denounced Hinduism, looking for answers. And right there, our precious brother led him to Jesus. And this Bible was from one of the girls from your church. We wrote his name in it, his spiritual birthday. We gave him information to go to the Baptist church. It was about 3 minutes from this particular place. And Chris has his phone number. He's going to follow up with him. You see, what is so great about a follower of Jesus that focuses on eternal things, as Ashley said, God will do incredible things in you and through you for his glory. And the blessing, if you will, the fringe benefit, is we get to come alongside and see God do Ephesians 3:20 immeasurably more than we could ask or think, according to the power that works within us. What a blessing that was. Number one, characteristics of my travels in the field, observations, is relationship. Secondly, is they're focused on eternal things. And then thirdly, a commitment to live like Jesus. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. What a powerful verse. It says, he who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as Jesus walked. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk as Jesus walked. Let me read these verses quickly. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men so that when they see your good works, they will glorify your Father which is in heaven. Colossians chapter 3, verse 4, Paul writing to the church at Colossae, he says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then shall you also appear with him in glory. The Holy Spirit inserted a phrase there. When Christ, and then it says, who is your life? Your life is wrapped up in Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which he has prepared beforehand that you should walk in them. And then, of course, 1 John 2:28 says, follower of Jesus, little children paraphrasing, abide in him so that when he comes, you will not be ashamed before him. The characteristic, I think, is so riveting and so amazing when I travel on the foreign mission field is to see their commitment to live like Jesus. Second to none. The fellow you see on the screen here is one of our missionaries. I met him in 2002 in a town called Nazaret in Ethiopia. Precious brother in the Lord. Loves Jesus. He's been beaten for the faith. He has scars on his leg for promoting Jesus. This is outside his little house, about 25 minutes outside of Addis Ababa. He's one of our missionaries, and I read to you the following email that I received from Akasha just this week. My dear Pastor Randy, I am praying that the Lord gives you grace, strength, and long life. Thank you so much for you email replying. Today I want to share you that what God has done for His glory. Last week I have been in, I can't pronounce this Amharic word, the north, the most Muslim-dominated area in Ethiopia, 99.93 Muslim people. However, there is a church among such people, and I went there to serve the people for 4 days. While I have been there, I received a letter from the mosque. It said that this city belongs to Muslim, so you have to come out from our city, they write. Otherwise, you will get great punishment. However, I continued with prayer and great boldness in the Lord. Saturday midnight, someone has come to my bedroom to do something upon me. However, when the man tried to break the door, he had seen someone wearing white cloth. The man himself said, "When I seen the man, I could not stand, and I had to lay back. Nevertheless, he stretched his hands and said, 'I love you, and I died for you,' but I couldn't stand again, and I lay back again. When I, Makasha, wake up," he meant to say woke, "when I wake up at the morning, I have seen someone who lay down at my door. He put Muslim hat, and I asked him what he was doing there. The man said, 'I came to you at midnight to kill you, but I tried to break your door, and when I did, someone came to me, and I laid back down. So now I am going to die. Please ask your God to save me.' To make short the long story, the man accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And here's the thing that just blew me away. And I brought him to my home, and now he is living with me. Because if I leave him there, and if they heard that he accepted Jesus, they would kill him. How great is God, and how great that we are allowed to serve and worship him. Keep in touch. Yours in Christ, Makasha." This happened a week and a half ago in the north of Ethiopia. You see, what's just amazing is their commitment to live like Jesus. Isn't that what Jesus did? Isn't that what the apostles did? 10 out of the 11 disciples of Jesus Christ were martyred for their faith. Throughout history, people have lost their faith because they took Jesus at his word, where it says in John 14:15, "If you love me, you will obey me." And I think the lesson for us tonight, family, is that we're called not only to relationship with Jesus, with God, inspired by the Holy Spirit on a vertical plane, that there should not go a day that we don't intimate with the Lord God Almighty, that we've been so blessed to sit at His feet and cultivate relationship with God. We cannot survive in a culture that is so against us if we come to church once a week and we have a 3-minute Bible study every other day. We need to hang with Jesus. And the principle is, as we hang with Him, we become like Him because we're exposed, we're vulnerable, we're naked, if you will, spiritually before God, and He begins to do a work in us and build us up. You see, the application for us in regard to relationship, it's simple. I just challenge you guys tonight. I'm going to pray for you. Make an intentional decision to spend time with Him and others. I'm not a very good math person. However, I believe my numbers are pretty accurate. If you were to take your available time on any given day and spend 5 minutes with Jesus, you spend less than 1% of your available time with Him. And when I think about what Jesus did for me and literally left heaven, Philippians chapter 2, and humbled himself and became a man, became a servant, and was obedient to death, even the death of the cross, that puts a desire in my heart, not because I have to, not a ritualistic, legalistic way to just to spend time with Jesus, but rather a heart of gratitude. God, you did that for me. As Luke said, "I'm an idiot, man. How could you? Wow." And the Lord says, "No, you're not an idiot, Luke. Randy, you're my child. I love you, and I love to hang out with you. Make an intentional decision. Put it in your day timer or your, what do they call those things you use? Palm Pilot. Not real technically astute. Put a date in your calendar, your day time with Jesus, and spend time with the family of God. Spend time with others. A decision or a desire for eternal things. You know, it's real simple. Biblical precept, Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You see, what you focus on controls your life. Absolutely. Monty Sharp, the pastor's pastor in the valley, you all know him, wonderful man of God. He has a phrase, the things you focus on are the things that are going to control your life. If we focus on Jesus, Matthew 6, 21, Hebrews 12, 2, throughout Scripture, Philippians 3, 13 and 14, we focus on Jesus, then the eternal is going to matter. When we focus on self, then we matter. But what truly matters is Jesus. Amen? So number one, make an intentional decision to spend T-I-M-E. And by the way, how do you spell T-I-M-E? I mean, how do you spell time? It's L-O-V-E. It's love. You see, I tell my wife I love her. But if I'm not willing to spend T-I-M-E and L-O-V-E with her, then what is that worth? It's hot air. If we love the Lord, let's spend time with Him. Secondly, focus on Jesus. Just look at Him. Every morning when you wake up, just close your eyes and think of Mount Calvary, of Jesus dying for you. And then go about 100 yards to the garden tomb and see a tomb that's empty. Because the Bible says now that the Father cares about you. Jesus intercedes for you, Hebrews says, and the Holy Spirit prays through you. What a blessing. Lastly, a commitment to live like Jesus. This is an act of our will. There in the Garden of Gethsemane, in the northwest part of the Mount of Olives, Jesus sweat great drops of blood. And the great phrase is what? Not my will, but your will be done. The biblical example is that the Lord Jesus willed His will over to the will of the Father, because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So Jesus did what? He willed His will over to the will of the Father. In order for us to live like Jesus tomorrow morning at work, next Tuesday afternoon or Friday afternoon, wherever it is, we need to will, our self-interest, and consider the old man to be dead to sin and the new man alive unto Jesus. Will our will over to the will of the Father, so that He could live His love in us and live His love and glory through us for His purposes. You know, I've gone a little long, so I'm going to close. I just encourage you guys. And one thing I say probably every Sunday at our fellowship is don't miss this week by spending time with Jesus. Nothing else matters. Truly. I close with the following, and I've shared this often. We dedicated this year's Vacation Bible School to a little girl in our church. She was 6 years old, you see, on April 15th, she was hit by a car. April 21st, she went to be with Jesus. 6 years old. And you know, last summer on June the 24th at about 7:15 at night in Rancho California Sports Park, now called Ronald Reagan Sports Park, little Kylie Ann stood up and said, I want to receive Jesus as my Savior. And she asked Jesus in her heart. Little did we know, 9 months later, the Lord was going to usher her home. And so we dedicated this year's Vacation Bible School in Temecula to her. I think they're, and you guys partnered with us. Thank you so much. You guys did such an awesome job. 50 kids or so came to Christ. We dedicated it in the village of Vunabal. 36 kids came to Jesus. We dedicated that in VBS in Diumba to Kylie's memory. 44 came to Jesus. But the principle is simple. She lived her life in such a way in just her 6 short years that even to this day, 3 months after her homecoming, the Lord is being glorified and honored through her legacy because she loved Jesus. Because she was all about relationship. She thought about eternal things. She prayed for her daddy often, and her daddy is now a follower of Jesus as a result of the Lord taking her home. And if there's ever a six-year-old that lived like Jesus and a commitment to live like him, because we heard through Red Hawk Elementary that she always talked about Jesus, it was Kylie. So I encourage you guys, live for Jesus. It's the best life there is. Can I pray for you? Father, we are so blessed to know that you love us, and Father, that you care for us and you desire for us, Lord, to come alongside you and to be used for your glory. Father, I pray for Temecula Hills Christian Fellowship, Lord. I pray for Pastor Andy and Pastor Rob and Pastor Randy. Father, the leadership team here, Father, bless them with wisdom and discernment. And Lord, I pray above all, Lord, that you will continue to burden their hearts as shepherds for this flock. Help them to love them as Jesus would. And Father, as this is our sister church friends, and Lord, we just love them so much, I pray, Father, that you, Lord, will be glorified. Father, help them, help us to know that it's all about relationship. Father, fix our mind on the eternal, Father, so that we can live in such a way that we desire by the power of your Holy Spirit to live like Jesus in real life. And Lord, we love you today. We bless you in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.